All right, tonight we're going to start a brand new series. I'm going to have you open up your Bibles to Psalms chapter 119, and we'll read one verse, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Psalms 119, verse 105. And tonight we're going to be talking about Baptist distinctives. We're going to be doing a study in Baptist doctrine, and over the next several weeks, I would like to dive into some of the historical aspects of the founding of the Baptist movement, how it got started, give you a little bit of history. Don't want to bore you with it, but it is very, very intriguing. And so we're going to be going over some of the Baptist distinctives and basically focusing on some doctrinal issues. And tonight, we're going to deal with the authority of Scripture. The authority of Scripture. And I want you to look at me in Psalms chapter 119, longest chapter in the entire Word of God, and the entire chapter deals with the Bible. Psalms 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's going to be our reading tonight. I'm going to ask you to be seated as we talk about Baptist distinctives, a study in Baptist doctrine, the authority of Scripture. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word tonight, and I pray, God, that you would help us, Lord, to understand the importance of doctrine. Lord, we know that doctrine in many ways divides. Lord, we know that doctrine brings delight to the heart. And Father, we know that also that doctrine demands a response of us. And so I pray that you would help us to understand, Lord, why we stand upon the doctrine of the Word of God. And Father, help us to understand the authority of the Bible, how it speaks to us, your revealed word. And God, I pray that you bless us as we do our very best to understand the great swelling truths of the Word of God. So lead us and guide us and direct us by your Holy Spirit to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people can say with me, amen. Now, I guess I need to start our introduction by stating why I believe it's important for us to study Baptist distinctives. It seems that there is a mentality today that successful ministries are measured by the growth of the church. If the church has a big size and congregation, if it has big buildings, then they measure the success of a ministry by the growth, and sadly, not by the doctrinal distinctives of the church. Now, I want you to know that I want our church to be known by the doctrinal distinctives that we preach and that we teach. I want us to be known as a Bible-believing church, not just on the size of our congregation, nor on the ministries that we have, nor on the amount of property that we might acquire. That I believe that every New Testament church ought to be known because of its doctrinal distinctives. In other words, the value of ministry is determined by the pace of numerical growth. That if you're growing very fast and you're getting people to come in, then you must be a successful church. If you have dramatic sizes in all sorts of buildings, if you've got a family life center, a large church, you've got a large children's building and all this and that, then that church must be successful. And it seems like that's the mentality of the culture that we live in among many churches. If our church is packed, we must be successful. If our church is packed, Brother David must be a good preacher. If our Sunday schools are overflowing, our teachers must be doing a good job. They gauge everything by the number and by the size and not by the doctrinal integrity that the church stands on. And I can say today that because of that mentality, anything that threatens church growth, anything that will impede that church growth, anything that will stymie that church growth has to be eliminated. And if standing upon the Word of God and teaching the Word of God and standing upon doctrinal truth is the thing that's impeding the growth, if standing on the Word of God is the thing that is stymieing the growth, then churches today have elected to toss out the great swelling truth of the Bible. They've elected to set aside the great doctrinal truths that ought to grow the church, and they have sacrificed it at the altar of success. Can I tell you today that I believe that you and I need to stand upon the pages of the Word of God from cover to cover. It is the revealed Word of God. That is a Baptist distinctive. Baptists historically have believed that the Bible is the revealed Word of God, that we do not receive our authority from some ecclesiastical body, some papacy, or some other type of entity, that we receive our authority and our commission from the Bible and the Word of God alone. Can you say amen? I believe it's sad that churches sacrifice their theological convictions because somebody says, well, it will impede growth if we preach on eternal security. It will impede growth if we preach against speaking in tongues. It will impede growth if we teach on moral purity. And we start talking about abortion and gay rights and all these things. It will impede growth if we preach and teach on these things. So, Pastor, sacrifice these things at the altar of success so that the church can continue to grow. Stan Norman has written a fabulous book entitled The Baptist Way, talking about distinctives of the Baptist church. And Stan Norman argues this. He says, this growth at any cost mentality has led some Baptist leaders and churches to jettison the core tenets of our Baptist identity, rendering them as outdated, irrelevant, detrimental to the growth of a church. If doctrinal convictions are allowed to shape the faith and practice of our churches, so the thinking goes, then church growth will be impeded, thereby conveying the impression of an ungodly or unsuccessful ministry. In order to meet this superficial criterion, some people are willing to sacrifice our distinctive doctrinal convictions on the altar of success. I can tell you today that if we abandon the theological convictions that hold Parkway Baptist Temple together, it will absolutely devastate the vitality and the mission of our church. If we lay aside the distinctives that make us truly Christian, if we lay aside the distinctives that have recognized us as Baptists historically, if we lack the doctrinal emphasis which is supposed to improve growth, if we set it aside, I believe that the result will be the demise of the church. I believe it will be the destruction of the church. I believe that if we don't stand upon the truths of the Word of God and what the Word of God has to say, that we will literally render the next generation of our church victims to the culture. They will have no breastplate of righteousness. They'll not be yielding a sword of the Spirit. They will not have a helmet of salvation. They will not have their feet sod in the preparation of the gospel. If we sacrifice a doctrine today at the altar of success, may it never be said of the ministries of Parkway Baptist Temple. Can you say amen? Stan Norman goes on to say in his book, an organization can experience numerical growth and have a dynamic institutional culture, but the absence of biblical beliefs and practices disqualifies that organization as a New Testament church. The philosophy that was supposed to enhance church growth actually undermines the very purpose for which it was adapted. End of quote. I can tell you today that I'm ready to stand on the truth of the Word of God. And I want us to understand as a church during our Wednesday night in the Word service, why are we Baptists and not Catholic? Why are we Baptists and not Episcopalian? Why are we Baptists and not Methodists or Presbyterian or Church of God? Why do we call ourselves Baptists? I can tell you tonight that truly the Baptist story is one of a group of believers who desired to base their Christianity solely on the authority of Scripture. Not on some ecclesiastical body, not on some type of papacy, not on anything, any other entity, but Baptist history is rooted in the fact that there were some men and women that were very passionate about the Word of God. They were so passionate about the Word of God that they were dedicated to the very belief that the Bible is the authoritative, written revelation of God to man. If you believe that, say amen. The Scripture served as a very foundation for Baptist faith and practice. It was upon that foundation of the Word of God and the revelation of God to man that Baptist churches began to be distinguished and developed down through the centuries. Dating back into the 16th and 17th century, men have made massive movements to pull away from the Catholic movement in Europe. And they moved to the Americas, and the America began to develop the Baptist distinctives in the churches to understand that the Word of God is the Word of God. And that we don't need anything else to build our churches on except the Word of God. It was sola scriptura. It was the Word of God and the Word of God alone that they taught in the Bible. Can you say amen? Now, although there is a major denominations today that would say, oh, wait a minute, we too believe and acknowledge that the Bible alone is the Word of God, most groups recognize other sorts of forms of authority within their religious denomination. Baptists don't. We recognize one authority when it comes to the revelation of God to man, and that is the Bible, and the Bible alone. We believe that the Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation is the revelation of God to man. Although there are other Christian denominations that say we too believe the Bible alone is the Word of God, they recognize other types of authority. For example, religious tradition would be one. They would place tradition on the same level as the authority of the Word of God. They would literally place human reasoning on the same level as the Word of God, and then even experience. These three things would be on the same level as the Word of God. As a matter of fact, if you were to study Episcopalians, you would find that they believe in a hermeneutical method commonly called the three-legged stool. And the three-legged stool, they say that the three-legged stool is the equal authority that is given to the Scripture, which should be not only Scripture, but tradition and reason. Scripture, tradition, and reason is the three-legged stool that we find balance. It's a hermeneutical principle for them. Basically, they are saying that the church, that church history and church philosophy is on the same plane as the Word of God. Now, I believe that we ought to study church history. Amen. I believe that. We ought to study church history. But the church does not find its authority based upon what's happened in the past. I believe not only should we study church history, but we ought to study church philosophy. But we do not base our authority upon what people said about the Word of God. We base our authority, thus saith the Word of the Lord. Can you say amen? There are a lot of denominations today, they believe that the Bible is the Word of God, but they would say, we also get authority from church history, what God has done in the past, and that's where we receive our authority. They would also say from church philosophy, that is what the preachers and the priests and the commentators had to say about the Word of God. I'm here to tell you, friend, the commentators, they will say, well, our commentaries is to shed light on the Bible. I can tell you that the Bible ought to shed some light on the commentaries that are out there today. Somebody say amen right there, huh? The Episcopalians would say, we recognize the Scripture. We recognize tradition. And we recognize human reasoning, that is church philosophy. The Catholic Church perceives itself as the custodians of the Scriptures and the authoritative interpreters of the Word of God. If you were to study Catholicism, you would find in the early days of Catholicism, after the days of Constantine had become emperor and basically caused a church state, when the government shook hands with religion, you will quickly find out that the papacy and the Catholic Church, they demanded that only the priests and the bishops were to read the Word of God and to interpret the Word of God. The common layman was not to interpret or to read the Word of God. It was left to the sole authority of the church, because the Roman Catholic Church would say that the voice of the church is the voice of Christ. And Catholics today believe that the church, there's salvation within the church. That there's this recognized authority within the church. I can tell you that there are denominations that claim themselves Christian, and they say we believe the Bible alone is the Word of God, but they would add to it religious tradition, reason, experience, and some type of ecclesiastical denominational t- ties that binds you to some type of man. Can I tell you today that I'm not bound to any type of man? You don't have to answer to me. You do not have to pray to me. I cannot forgive your sins, nor do you confess your sins to me. There is one person he's found cover to cover in the pages of the Word of God. He stands among men as a champion. He's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley. He said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is God. No man is God. I can't forgive your sins. I can't save you, but I know a man that can. Can you say amen? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand that it's not the church that constitutes the Bible. It's the Bible that constitutes the church. And that is a Baptist distinctive that is laid in the foundation of who we are in Baptist doctrine. It's the very thing that distinguishes Baptists from all other Christian denominations. It's not the church that constitutes the Bible. It's not a group of religious men that constitute the Bible. It is the Bible, the revealed Word of God, that constitutes the church. That's what makes us Baptist. And you would say, well, Brother David, what do you mean by this term authority of Scripture, that we believe in the Word of God and the Word of God alone? That we don't find authority through church history. We do not find authority through church philosophy. We find authority solely through the Word of God. What do you mean by the authority of Scripture? Dr. Henry Thiessen, who has a great book on systematic theology, explains authority. The Bible carries with it the divine authority of God. It is binding upon man, on his mind, conscience, will, and heart. Man, creed, and churches are all subject to the authority of Scripture. God has spoken. We must submit. The eternal, thus saith the Lord, is our standard. It doesn't matter what church policy has to say. It doesn't matter what man has to say. It doesn't matter what church history has revealed. Nor does it matter what church philosophy has said about the Word of God. We stand on the Word of God and the Word of God alone. It is God's revelation to man, and it is a Baptist distinctive that separates Baptists from all other religions of the world. We stand solely on the pages of the Word of God. Can you say amen? Now, using Psalms 119 tonight, here's what I want to do. I want to give you three incentives to the Bible's authority. Why we take our P's and Q's, why we take it from the Bible and the Bible alone. Not just history, not just philosophy, not any of these things, but why do we stand on the Bible and the Bible alone? Because the Word of God gives the believer three incentives, and I want you to write them down. I think they're going to help you. Number one, the Bible's authority guides us. The Bible's authority guides us. Look at verse 105. The Bible says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Bible's a lamp unto my feet. The Bible says it's a light unto my path. Notice the writer is actually talking about God's Word. And let me give you just four things quickly about God's Word when you think about it as a lamp unto your feet and a light to your path. Number one, the Word is ever needful. Think about that for a moment. Man needs a guide through life. The Bible teaches you and I that this old land and this old world, it's dark and barren and dry. And man needs a guide. And the guide that God has given us is the Word of God. It is the Bible. It is not church philosophy. It is not church history. It is not tradition. It is not none of these things. It is the Word of God and the Word of God alone. Because the Bible teaches that man's eyes are spiritually dim. He cannot even see afar off. The road is very dark at times. So what does God give me? And what does God give you? He gives us the Word of God to impart wisdom, to give us practical wisdom, spiritual wisdom on how to raise our family, on how to love our family, how to do all these things. The Bible gives us direction. It is a guide to us, and I'm so thankful for it. You see, the Word is ever needful. When I think of the Bible as a light and a lamp, not only is the Word ever needful, but the Word is always available. The Word is always available. It suits every single path of life. No matter what road I am traveling, whether I am young, whether I am old, single, married, divorced, rich, poor, Whether I'm a merchant or a statesman, whether I'm a preacher or a politician, it doesn't matter what road I'm traveling on, the Word of God is always available. It is there to shine its light. It suits every path. So no matter where you're at right now on this spiritual journey, the Word of God is a lamp unto your feet and it's a light unto your path. No matter where you're walking, no matter what's taking place, the Word of God is there for you. The Bible's authority guides us if the Word is ever needful. The Word is always available. And then thirdly, I think about the Word is all sufficient. It throws light on every conceivable step that I take. Think about this for a moment. What decisions are you facing right now in your life? Perhaps you're here and you're contemplating a new job. Perhaps you're here and you're contemplating a problem or a situation that you need to take care of. The Bible says that the Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It means it throws light on every conceivable step in life. No matter what I face, the Word of God is there to help me. Not only that, but the Word of God is inextinguishable. That is, you can't get rid of it. It burns as bright from the very first day God spoke it to the very day that you and I have it today. The Word of God is just as bright and brilliant in the days of the old patriarchs as it is in the life of today's preachers. The Word of God cannot be extinguished. It's a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. Aren't you glad tonight that you can say that the Bible, the Word of God, its authority guides me? Can you say amen? You think about this for a moment. You're holding in your hand or perhaps your lap tonight not only a book of miracles, but a miracle book. That book that you hold in your hand can radically transform and change your life. That book has radically changed all sorts of people since its inception. It may be a diverse book, but it's an amazing book. When you think about it, there are 66 books that were written by 40 different authors. Those 40 different authors were living on several different continents in the nations of Palestine, Babylon, Greece, Rome, Asia Minor, all these places, spoken and written or written in three different languages, Hebrew, Greek, and possibly Aramaic in some portions of it, separated by 16 centuries, yet the Bible from beginning to end speaks of one person, the centrality of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. From cover to cover, from beginning to end, Jesus says, I am Alpha and I am Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. The Word of God speaks of one person, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And through this Bible, God wants to guide us in order for it to be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I've got to turn it on. I've got to reach down and pull the switch. If you walk into a room, what do you have to do? It's dark. You're afraid you're going to stumble? Can I tell you, this church in the middle of the night, it is as dark as it can get. Boy, this place is spooky in the middle of the night, huh? You ought to come in here one night and all the lights are out. You hear all sorts of things moving and all this and that. And, you know, it was great when we lived next door there in the Parsonage. Now it's the children's building. I'd bring the kids over here at night. We'd have ourselves a big old time. They didn't know what was in here, you know. They thought in the middle of the night, they had no idea. We'd come in here in the middle of the night, and they'd grab a hold of my pant leg. They'd hold it real tight. And it was just like an extension to our living room as close as the house was. We'd come over here and walk down the aisle. I knew where the altars were at. And I could find my way around this place in the dark kind of easy until one day we had a Christmas play. I was walking down that aisle there and somebody put that altar over there in that aisle. And it's pitch black and I'm just going to, you know, run on home and I didn't want to turn the lights on. I'm just going to run down the aisle right there. And I had no idea that altar was there. You talk about hitting the altar. Buddy, I hit the altar that night. I got down on my knees quick and in a hurry and skipped my knee all up. When it's dark in here, boy, it can be scary. There's obstacles along the way. You have no idea what you might hit. But as soon as you reach over and you turn the light on, makes all the difference in the world. Can I tell you, the Bible says it's a lamp unto your feet, it's a light in your path, but it'll do you absolutely no good until you turn the light on. Dr. James Merritt said it well. You can either go through life stumbling in the dark or stepping by the light. That's a great quote. He said the beautiful thing about the Bible is this. It is a light that never goes out, and it's a lamp that can never be extinguished. Hallelujah for the Word of God. The Bible's authority is there to guide us. Can you say amen? Boy, I read a crazy story Moody Magazine had an article back in 1989, entitled 178 Seconds to Live. 178 Seconds to Live. And the article was basically about 20 pilots who went inside one of those simulators. And the 20 pilots by themselves were very good pilots, but they were never really trained on the instruments in times of storms. Now, when it was nice outside, well, they could get up in the air and they could coast along and everything would be just fine. But they put these 20 pilots and they put them in one of those simulators. You've seen them before. And they reenact the clouds, how they have to fly through the clouds. And they reenacted the rain and the wind and the plane shaking and all this and that. And all 20 pilots that were tested in this experiment, they crashed their plane. All 20 of them. And what was even interesting was, it happened in an average span of 178 seconds. All of them, with just a short period of time, with just a few minutes, all of them had crashed because they didn't understand the instruments. And can I tell you, friend, you and I, we may think, well, I'm flying all right. Everything's okay in my life. Got a good job, got an IRA, got retirements, everything's well, family's doing all right, and you're just coasting along and it's blue skies all the way. But as soon as the storms come in your life, as soon as you can't handle the situation, all of a sudden you're getting ready to crash, all of a sudden you're getting ready to burn, I can tell you this, the Bible is the instrument and the guide that will guide your life. Whether in the good times or whether in the bad times, you need the Word of God. You see, we think we got it under control, but we don't, honey. You need the instrument of the Word of God to guide you when the sky is blue and when the sky is black. You need the instrument of the Word of God, or you will find yourself crashing and burning just like these pilots did in a very short period of time. We believe a Baptist distinctive is this, that the Bible's authority guides us. But not only does the Bible authority guide us, the second incentive to the Word of God would be this. The Bible's authority grows us. Not only does it guide me, it's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, but it actually helps me to grow. Verse 98 to verse 100. The Bible says, though thou commandest, hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. It's interesting. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2, it's not on the screens, but the Bible says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Now you know this. We're all smart here in this room, right? We know this. If a child fails to eat, a child will fail to grow healthy. It will stunt the growth of that child. If that child doesn't have the proper proteins and vitamins and minerals that it needs, it's going to stunt the growth of that child. It will grow up to be very healthy. As a matter of fact, that little baby will begin to lose its strength very quickly. It will cause that little baby to be susceptible to disease and even death if it doesn't eat properly. I can tell you today, as babes in Christ, if we are not eating properly from the Word of God, that is, if we are not standing upon the Word of God and the Word of God alone, supplement diets will not satisfy. You can try getting authority from the papacy. You can try getting authority from church history. You can try getting authority from church philosophy, but it's a supplement and it will not satisfy. What you need is the steak of the Word of God. You need to get a good old dose of God's garden of grace. And when you do, you will find minerals and vitamins to help you to grow. Can you say amen? I believe what we need today more than ever is just a good old dose of the Holy Ghost of God to give us the doctrines of the Word of God, to help you and I to see that we need to grow. If we don't eat, we are not growing. As a matter of fact, many churches have starved themselves to death doctrinally. And literally, they have died. Their influence and their dynamic that they once had has been diminished because there's no doctrinal value whatsoever. They try everything else under the sun except the teaching of the Word of God. They've lost their Baptist distinctive, if they are Baptists. They have sacrificed the doctrines of the Word of God on the altar of success. They don't want to offend. They want to cater to the right crowd. They want to be user-friendly in all the terms that are out there. When God tells you and I to preach His Word, to be instant in season and out of season, to rebuke, to exhort, all of these things is a requirement of every preacher and every teacher. And to sacrifice it for success is to dishonor Jesus Christ. To sacrifice it for success and fame and a name of fame is to dishonor the very Word of God that transforms and changes men and women from the inside out when the Word of God is preached. As I said, it's not just a book of miracles. It is a miracle book. It does something on the inside of the heart of a human being when the Word of God is preached and taught. The Bible's authority grows us. Our purpose for reading the Word of God is to help us to grow. As a matter of fact, you can't grow as a Christian if you do not read your Bible. I believe that. You need to read your Bible every day. Well, look at the text. Verse 99 says, the Bible gives more education than teachers. Look at verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I'm here to tell you tonight, the Bible will make you smart. I like what Bill said Sunday night. He said, you know, when you get saved, God will take you from the Budweiser crowd and put you in the much wiser crowd. Amen? And it will make you smart. It will give you wisdom, not wisdom that the world can give, but wisdom that God gives. And the writer says, the Bible will give me a better education than even that my teachers can give. It will give me the wisdom of God. It will help me to understand what God requires of me on my spiritual journey. Verse 100 says, the Bible gives more insight than experience. Look at verse 100. I understand more than the ancients. Why? Because I keep thy precepts. Have you ever heard the old saying that says experience is the best teacher? How many has ever heard that, huh? Experience is the best teacher. Well, that's not true. That's a fallacy. Experience is not the best teacher. You know what the best teacher is? The best teacher is that book you hold in your hand. It is the Word of God. I'll take the Word of God over experience any day, any time, because it gives wisdom for the journey. It's not experience. It's not education. It's the Word of God that helps us. It's the Word of God that helps us to grow. You see, the Bible wasn't written just to give you and I information. The Bible was written to not give information, but transformation. The Bible was written so I would be transformed from the inside out. So the culture will be transformed, not by the power of the preacher, but by the power of the preaching of the Word of God. Can you say amen? You know, I heard about a guy who had owned a vineyard, and in that vineyard, his sons believed that his father was a very wealthy man because he owned this vineyard, and they believed that he buried some treasure within that vineyard. And they had sought for that treasure, and they'd ask their dad about it from time to time. But the dad was a very secretive man. He wasn't going to tell them exactly where the treasure is at. But finally on his deathbed, he calls for his sons and tells his sons to come over. And he says, sons, he said, you'll find that treasure. All that you need, it is buried in the vineyard. If you want the wealth and my success, it's buried in the vineyard. As soon as their daddy died, those two boys went out to that vineyard and they tried their very best not to disturb the vines. But they began digging in that dirt as diligently as anybody had ever dug. They pulled up every weed. They moved all the grass. They did everything they could, and they dug around those vines, and they dug every single day diligently, and they tried not to destroy the vines. Finally, when the fall came, they just gave up and said, we never found the treasure. But as soon as fall came, those vines begin to bud. And the greatest vineyard of grapes in the history of that family was produced. And all of a sudden, the boys realized how wise their dad was. See, in keeping up the vine, it actually yielded a harvest of wealth to their family. And can I tell you that you have a vineyard, you have a vine also. It's called the Bible, the Word of God. And you're going to have to dig. You're going to have to dig deep every single day. You've got to remove any impediment that's going to cause you not to read the Word of God. You've got to move the ground of the Word of God. You can't just settle for the ABCs of Christianity. You've got to dig down deep. You've got to grab a hold of the doctrines of God. You've got to wrestle with some of these issues about the Word of God. You dig down deep, and all of a sudden, one grand and glorious day, a harvest will blossom, and you will be rich beyond compare. Can you say amen? That's exactly what the Bible tells us it will do for us. The Bible will help me to grow spiritually wealthy. The Bible not only guides me, the Bible not only guides me and grows me, but last of all, the Bible guards us, doesn't it? I think about the Word of God and how it has guarded me over and over again. The crazy mistakes that Dave Sampson would have made apart from the Word of God can never even be numbered. You couldn't contain all the books with all the mistakes I would have made without the guidance of the Word of God. Aren't you glad for the guidance and the guarding of the Word of God? The Bible tells you and I in verse 110 of our text, the writer says, the wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. The psalmist here tells us that if you obey the book, you're not going to fall to the snares of the wicked. If you obey the Word of God, the temptations that are out there and the things that will lure you and pull you aside, you'll not fall to it because you've got the wisdom of the Word of God. You've got the Bible's authority that is literally guarding you. And I can tell you tonight that the world has all sorts of traps that are out there. Many of you tonight, you're facing them already. There's challenges you have faced already in your marriage and in your ministry, all because the world begins to pull and it tries to trap the righteous. Satan has landmines of sin everywhere. And you might be on the brink of stepping on one. You might be standing next to one right now. Friend, you need the guarding of the Word of God to grant you wisdom to get you out of the minefields of life. You need the Word of God to guard your heart. You need the Word of God to protect your mind. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells you and I there are two tremendous verses in this chapter. At the very beginning is verse number 9 and verse number 11. The Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed, therefore, according to thy word. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You see, the Bible will guard you. It is a Baptist distinctive. That's why we place such a premium on the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. Listen, teacher, don't clown around in your class. You preach, thus saith the Word of God. Don't you be lazy all during the week and try to use your Sunday school curriculum as a crutch and study it on Saturday night and try to deliver something on Sunday morning. You put your nose in the book. You put your knees on the floor. You pray to God. You ask God to give you something, because a Baptist distinctive is this. We believe that the Bible will guard our family. We believe that the Bible will grow our church. And we believe that the Bible will guide us in every area of life as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. If you believe that, say amen. Somebody has well said, read the Bible to be safe, believe it to be wise, and practice it to be holy. A Baptist distinctive. We believe in the authority of the Word of God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. As the psalmist said, it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We know, Lord, that you have given us this word to guard us, to guide us, and to help us to grow. So, Father, help us not to waver from the teaching of the Word of God. It's not church history. It is not the philosophy of the church where we find our authority. We find authority through the pages of the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord. Father, I pray that you would help us to look to you tonight in all areas of life, that we would look to the Word of God and the pages of the Word of God. It's the very thing that has made such a distinction within Baptists throughout many, many, many decades, that we believe in Scripture and Scripture alone. So, Father, help us to bury our nose in this book. Help us to read it that we may grow and be healthy, and bring honor and glory to your Son, who died on an old rugged cross for the propitiation of our sins, and rose again on the third day to set us free. Father, we thank you for that tonight. Lead us and guide us and direct us by your divine Holy Spirit to help us do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. And we'll thank you for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.